42. Jesse had no interest in fighting the rush hour traffic heading north at this time of day. He'd called Kate O'Hara again to ask how she was feeling. She said she was feeling the same as she had when he'd called her in the morning. He thought about asking her to meet him for dinner at the Gull if she was feeling up to it. The words were nearly out of his mouth before he swallowed them. He had been too close to something happening between them last night before an inner alarm sounded. What Dix called his moral alarm, one that Dix had suggested could survive a nuclear attack. So he had left. Even now, it amused the hell out of Jesse that he'd chosen the company and companionship of Crow over a woman with whom he once might have been about half in love. He got off the expressway in Chinatown and eventually made his way to Charles Street, which ran between the Public Garden and the Boston Common, finally making a left at the Charles Street Meeting House and a right on River Street Place, until he parked the Explorer in front of Sonny Randall's house. A famous writer had basically given it to her, not rent-free, but close enough, considering the neighborhood. He had walked these streets with her more times than he could recall. They had even gone across the little bridge and run together along the Charles, then come back to the house at the end of the street and made love in the big bed upstairs. Jesse knew he'd never been in love with Kate O'Hara, not really, as many times as he'd tried to talk himself into believing that he was. It was Sonny he'd been in love with, and still was. Not that it was doing him much good lately. Don't project. Another of the big ones from AA. So Jesse wasn't projecting that it was over between him and Sonny. It just felt that way right now. Had she said she'd call when they'd last spoken? He felt like she had, but hadn't called. No idea what was happening with her in L.A., or when she'd be back, and whether or not they'd pick up where they left off. He asked himself again, "What are you, in high school?" Sitting outside your girlfriend's house, or ex-girlfriend, or whatever she currently was, even knowing she wasn't there. He sat there for a long time anyway, and was about to leave when Spike came out with Rosie, Sonny's dog, on a leash. He grinned when he saw Jesse step out of the Explorer. "I can't be extradited to paradise, right?" Spike said. "I'll ask the questions," Jesse said, and walked over and shook Spike's hand. "I'm just a gay man picking up more toys for a small dog," he said. "Is that a crime?" "Should be." "Well, that's my excuse," Spike said. "What's yours?"
"In the neighborhood."
"Yeah, sure," Spike said.
"Jesus, you look like you miss her more than the dog does."
Spike had grown a beard since the last time Jesse had seen him at the Gull. But he looked ripped, as always, like he ought to be starring in one of those gym ads on television. Orange t-shirt, tight. Sneakers to match the shirt, skinny jeans.
"You talk to her?" Jesse said.
"Not much," Spike said. "And when we do, it's mostly about the dog. I don't know much about this case, but it seems to be pretty intense."
"For her, there's never any other kind."
"Have you talked to her?" Spike said.
"Maybe a week ago, just to check in," Jesse said. "Not for long."
Spike smiled. "You want to stand here and keep talking about her without really talking about her?" he said.
"I'd rather try to zigzag my way across Starro Drive when the rush hour traffic picks up," Jesse said.
They were out of things to say. They both knew it. Jesse said he'd see him in paradise. Spike said that always sounded kind of bleak to him.
"I miss her too," Spike said, "if that's any consolation to you."
"It's not," Jesse said.